Okay, hi everybody, this is Troy, the resident Michael Channel and host of TruthLoveEnergy.com. I hope you're doing well today. What you're about to hear is a recording that we call Global Michael Speaks, which is basically an excerpt from our house sessions. And our house sessions are private sessions with Michael between Cypress and me, and sometimes involving friends or a small group. But the Global Michael Speaks part of the session is devoted to questions that are submitted by students from around the world. So this is our first time putting this out there, and I hope you enjoy it. And I apologize for the choppy channeling, that's what I call it, because I haven't done verbal channeling, or actually oral channeling, in quite a while, so you can tell. It's a little bit choppy, so be lenient with me. If you're interested in submitting any questions for the Global Michael Speaks, just check out the website. And right now the links are underneath the announcement section on the first page, or the announcement section in the forum. But there will be an obvious link in the future for you to submit your questions if this turns out to be successful and of interest to you. So here we go into our first Global Michael Speaks. This is from February of 2006. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay. First question is from Sandy. Her first question is there any one area that Michael would suggest the serious Michael student would be prudent to spend time studying in order to maximize growth?
We have always suggested that our students focus on the basics. What we would suggest are the basics are all of the familiar overleaves. The role, in essence, the goal, the mode, the attitude, the centering, part of centering, and chief negative features. Beyond that, and the soul ages. Beyond that, if you do not have a grasp on those basics, everything else is built upon shaky ground. And we doubt that much growth, comparatively speaking, can be attained if that foundation is not secure. This is because if the basics are not understood, then you cannot extend beyond that with any great ability to implement. You may be able to intellectualize or even emotionally grasp some of the concepts, but if you do not have a grounding, a foundation in those basics, there is very little to stand upon in terms of actual growth. Of course, comparatively speaking, more growth will occur if the basics are understood, but this does not mean there will be no growth if the basics are not understood. It simply means that, in terms of the question, maximum growth would be available if the basics were understood. If there were a specific element within the basics to emphasize, we would suggest the goal is the most important personality overleaf to understand, because it is within the understanding of where everything in your life is being funneled to your essence that you will be able to find the inspiration, the motivation to pull the rest of your overleaves into alignment. It is true that the attitude is the most powerful overleaf, but it can be difficult to understand the attitude from a negative perception, from a negative pole. So to try to grasp your attitude, if you are in the negative pole, you can sometimes distort any efforts beyond that. Looking at the goal and understanding how that applies to your life can free you to align your attitude more appropriately. Because if you understand your goal for the lifetime, then you understand what inspires you, you understand what fuels you, you understand what motivates you, and you understand your obstacles as well as your strengths. And in those two areas, the basics, and within the basics, the goal, you can maximize growth.
Sandy's second question along that same vein, is there any actual benefit in maximizing growth? I often feel if I would work harder on growing and learning, I would not have to come back here as many times. Ending the cycles on the physical plane seems to be something many of us are eager to do. Could this be considered good work, or are we kidding ourselves?
We will assume that the question of whether this is good work refers to maximizing growth.
Yes, that's my interpretation of the question.
It is always good work to maximize growth. It is even better, quote unquote, good work to be able to comprehend that maximization of growth. You could maximize growth your entire life and not grasp or comprehend what you have experienced or accomplished until after the life is complete. There is no rule as to when you comprehend, but if you comprehend your experiences within the lifetime, then growth is maximized and into a space that we would consider good work in the way that it seems this question is leading. However, if the emphasis of good work and the emphasis of growth is simply to escape the physical plane or to cut short the experiences, then you are defeating the entire point altogether. It is only when you have understood that the experiences here on the physical plane within the spectrum of experiences can be comprehended, managed, and adapted to that you will actually be free from the physical plane. It is always a strong indication that you are far from being finished when you are eager to finish, simply because those of you who are closer to quote-unquote finishing start to feel like you are going to miss this place. You start to feel a sense of grief, and you start to feel a strong appreciation of the lives and the life that you have led, regardless of the spectrum of experiences that you have had. So we would suggest, if you are feeling eager to leave this plane and to be done with it, that this is an indication that you are not quite looking at your experiences in a way that could maximize the joy within your life. And when joy within the life has been maximized, you will find the peace that you think is on the other side of finishing here. And that joy can only be maximized if you comprehend within the life the growth that you're experiencing. Do not seek to bite off more than you can chew within a lifetime. Do not seek to overwhelm yourselves with experiences so that you can somehow make it a shortcut for your physical plane lives. That is not how it works.
Thank you. That was my feelings. Exactly. The first question for Susan. We seem to live in a world with a lot of vulnerable and or needy people. How do we keep the scales balanced so that we don't allow others or end up allowing ourselves to be either vulnerable or needy?
This question presumes that vulnerable and needy are negative traits. Vulnerable is a positive quality within your physical plane. It is a natural quality within your physical plane. It is not a quality to avoid. This is why we have described one of the chief negative features as a fear of vulnerability, self-deprecation, or rather arrogance, because to fight vulnerability or to fear it is the problem, not the actual vulnerability. Vulnerability is a state of strength. This is a state of trust. It is a state of understanding and comprehending your place within an experience, within a relationship, within your life. Vulnerability is something that all of you would do well to understand is a positive trait. To fear it, to fight it, or to call it something that is a weakness is misunderstanding the entire point of vulnerability. Vulnerability is simply another word for trust. Neediness, while there are people in positions that could be called needy, it is also a term that describes a relative experience, in that those who are considered needy are only paired up with those who are unwilling to give. Those who are paired up with people who are willing to give, or in an experience where there is free, flowing energy, those very same people would not be considered needy. Neediness usually describes the experience of the people on the other side of those who are quote-unquote needy, more than it describes the person who has been deemed needy. When there are descriptions of others being needy, you are usually describing a dynamic where the other party or parties are greedy, or simply lacking the ability to give what it is that is needed by those who are quote-unquote needy. So our point is, there is no need to eliminate or avoid vulnerability. There is no need to eliminate or avoid neediness, but rather to assess situations accurately and be okay with your ability to give or not to give, to be able to choose to share or not to share. You do not have to link yourself to situations or people who require more of you than you are capable of giving. It is quite all right for you to draw a line and to be honest about your capabilities, rather than to pair yourself up with those who need more than you have, or who want more than you have. The same applies from the other direction. If you are feeling needy, you are simply paired up with sources that do not have what you are looking for. We would suggest that you assess your situation accurately and make choices that lead you in directions that have available what it is you are seeking. You are only needy when you are looking in the wrong place. Understanding what we have just said will shed light on how to bring balance to your experiences on either side of the equation of neediness, vulnerability, and so forth.
Susan's second question: the world also seems to be full of people betraying people. How do we keep the scales balanced so that we do not end up being betrayed or betraying others?
Betrayal, once again, is a relative term. Betrayal is quite often describing a gap between two individuals wherein one or the other or both simply do not approve of the choices made by the other. Quite often, those choices were necessary to be made. They were made from love, sometimes fear. And when one or both of the parties do not approve of the choices being made, there is quite often a description of it being a betrayal. In that context of betrayal, we would suggest that the world is not full of betrayers or betrayal, but people who do not understand the choices beyond their own. Quite often, choices are made without conscious assessment of the ramifications on those around them. Quite often, personal choices are made without that consideration, simply because it is difficult to make a choice and to comprehend the impact beyond a certain amount of space beyond your own circle of existence. For those who have the capacity to gauge how choices will impact others, they can use that tool to their benefit so that they can make choices within that context. But there are specifically designed individuals who do not have that capacity to understand the impact of choice on individuals beyond themselves. There is a spectrum of design of people, and understanding that there is a spectrum of design of people will allow you to, instead of seeing the world as full of betrayal and betrayers, to see a world of people making choices, and people making choices as to how to respond to the choices of others. Your world seems to be full of betrayal and betrayers simply because there are choices being made in your world, personally and globally, of which you do not approve.
Okay.
We are not complete.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When you are able to look at your personal life and see the spectrum of choices that have been made without filtering them through the perception of betrayal, you will simply see people making choices based on what they feel is best for themselves, not necessarily for those involved, of course, but best for themselves. When you are able to see that every choice an individual makes is usually based on what that individual feels is best for himself or herself, you will understand the innocence behind the choices. It may seem selfish that individuals make choices based on what they feel is best for themselves, but this is not necessarily the case. People make choices in terms of what is best for themselves simply because they are the ones they have to take care of the most directly. If your capabilities extend beyond that, you are living within a paradigm that allows for that. But most of you within your world are still living within the young soul paradigm of taking care of yourselves only. Regardless of your soul age, you are still affected by the young soul paradigm of your world, and it is primarily about self-preservation. If you feel betrayed personally, You can free yourself from that experience by simply seeing the innocence in the choices of another individual who only was doing the best that he could or she could within her capabilities or his capabilities at that time. It does not matter that at this point, beyond that so-called betrayal, it does not matter that there may have been no acknowledgement of growth beyond that. It is your personal growth and understanding that matters, not whether the other party involved agrees. If you feel betrayed by the world or see the world full of betrayal, again, always resort back to the innocence behind the motivation for the choices that are being made for which you do not approve.
That's very interesting.
We will complete there.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were done. That's very interesting information. I had never thought of it like that before.